Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds' Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
And welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And we are here today for our August 2021 book news episode. We'll be going over the latest book and publishing news in Asian American literature. Rira.
Yes.
It's almost the end of August. What's going on?
That is true. I'm a little bit amazed and also kind of horrified that school is starting for a lot of kids out there. And with the pandemic, I'm like, I don't know about this. Obviously, it depends on like your town and how safe and strict they are with their protocols. But just reading news about a lot of kids getting COVID because they went back to school, that's a little bit concerning.
Yeah, it just feels like, you know what, everyone just chill a little bit. Stay at home, read a book. Everyone's in a hurry to get back to normal, but we've read enough post-apocalyptic pandemic books to know that things will never be normal again, right?
Yeah, I mean,
the normal has changed. Our status quo has to change with it.
I mean, like my youngest brother, he's starting high school in a couple of weeks. And from what I know, he is the only disabled kid who has gotten vaccinated in his class. And like, I understand because, you know, like having kids with disabilities and autism, like it is a challenge to get the care that they need. And I trust that the school will like provide for them. But it's also just like, I don't know, like this is kind of terrifying. At least he's going to high school and everyone who is in high school is of age to get the vaccination. It's just a question of, did they get the vaccination?
Yeah. Your family's in California, right?
Yeah, they're in Irvine. So relatively safe, but I am a very like paranoid person. We actually had to postpone recording an episode because of this issue of like,
you
me
know,
being in a meeting and being like, yo, what's the deal?
Like, you know, this week has just been a very cursed week for podcast producing. I also produce other podcasts as a profession. And this week's just been full of like mic hardware issues, software issues, recordings going like ghosting on me. Like basically it recorded, but when they exported, it was blank and we don't know where the recording went. Zoom changed, like updated itself. And then so my backups don't work anymore. So I have to go in and change all that. It's been a cursed week for me as a podcast producer.
Yeah.
Hopefully this recording goes A-OK.
But the thing is, like, we haven't had recording problems when it's just the two of us because we've been doing this for so long.
That's true. But now that you said that, something's going to go wrong.
Oh, no. Marvin, I always have a backup. So... All right. Well, we have a lot of book deals to cover.
Yeah.
So
it's a good month for book deals. So let's get to it.
I guess I'll go first. So Tor Books acquired World English rights for a fantastic new modern Asian fantasy trilogy, Ebony Gate, Blood Jade and Tiger Eye by author team Julia V and Ken Bebel. The Phoenix Horde trilogy is scheduled to kick off in 2023 with Ebony Gate, pitched as female John Wick in a San Francisco Chinatown filled with dragon magic. The book follows a retired assassin wanting nothing more to do with death, who is then dragged into a deal with a Shinigami, a death god, because a gate to hell has been torn open. This sounds pretty cool. I am all for books that have, you know, Asian hell in it. I don't know. I feel like we need more like Asian demonology and death lore in the Western canon, I think.
You know, Asian afterlife, Asian hell is, I feel like, is a lot more interesting than like Western hell, because I feel like,
yeah,
there's a lot
like Dante's
more politics
Inferno
involved, right?
has nothing on us.
Yeah, I mean, Asian hell's full of like bureaucrats and like politics. It's like it's pretty messy in there. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, if you've read the Ghost Bride with us, you'll know that the afterlife, the Chinese afterlife, is full of politics,
full of cues from what I've seen depicted in like Asian media. But yeah, this sounds really cool. I'm always down for more Asian inspired fantasy. Tor's known for its sci-fi fantasy output, and it's pretty cool that Julia and Ken got their deal for a whole trilogy.
Congratulations.
Yeah. All right, our next deal. Feiwei and friends bought contemporary YA fantasy, a coffee shop in an alternate universe, by friend of the podcast, CB Lee. When two polar opposite girls hit it off at a coffee shop, little do they know that what should be a meet cute is actually the symptom of an impending catastrophic collision of the multiverses. And their romance plunges them into a race against time to prevent the collapse of their worlds. The book is set for spring or summer 2023.
I mean, I'm all down for books that take place in a coffee shop. And if you throw in some Doctor Who drama in there, I'm like all for it. And especially with it being like a queer romance as well. Yeah, like I'm super excited for this. And I also like tweeted it when the book deal was announced because I was like, I can't wait. And this book is coming out in 2023. All right, next deal. Underline bought Fireworks by Alice Lin, and Allison Romig will edit. In this YA debut, Lulu Lee is ready for a fun summer before heading off to college. But when her next door neighbor, Kite Shu, returns home from South Korea for the first time after making it big as a K-pop star, their old friendship picks up and turns into something more. Publication is planned for summer 2022. Another K-pop book. This is becoming a very big trend. It's becoming a subgenre in itself.
I mean, growing up, I don't know if it was the same for you, but it was always a thing where you said if you wanted to make it in entertainment, you had to go to Asia. You had to go and participate
it's
in
still like that, though.
The Korean, the Taiwanese like pop scene to make it big. And I know a couple of people, not personally, but people from my high school who did just that. And so, I mean, it's actually a pretty common storyline for our, you know, community. But to see it now being put down in page and distributed to the masses, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, if you go to our bookshop affiliate page, we actually have a list of K-pop and K-drama books if you're into that. Actually, funny enough, I have a couple of friends who were K-pop trainees. and like I think like two of them actually pivoted to acting, but yeah, just hearing some of the stories is like, it's like really intense. But overall, Koreans are very intense when it comes to pursuing your dreams.
I feel like the Korean version of that story is way more, as you said, intense than like maybe the Taiwanese version.
It is really intense. And I really hate the fact that like the Western journalism world have kind of demonized K-pop as like the dark side of the industry. But Western entertainment also has a dark side of the industry.
I've seen that NSYNC documentary.
It's messed up. But the thing is, like, it's really intense training. But overall, like, it Like, it's Asia. You're going to do whatever it takes. It's the same thing with studying for, like, the college entrance exams. You just do, like, you just do what is necessary.
I feel like that's endemic to a whole other set of problems with, like, our culture of, like, overachieving.
Yeah, overachieving. I mean, that is a whole different topic. But I'm just saying it's not just K-pop or entertainment. It's, like, an entire culture.
All right. Congrats to Alice on her book deal. Next up, Bloomsbury acquired at auction She Is a Haunting by Trong Tan Tran. This YA coming-of-age ghost story sets a girl's navigation of her Vietnamese-American bisexual identity against both the dark legacy of colonialism and a blossoming summer romance when she visits her estranged father in Vietnam and learns that the house they share is haunted. Publication is scheduled for winter 2023. Wow. It feels like they're trying to do a lot of things here, but they all kind of fit together.
Yeah, how many houses are there that are haunted by colonial ghosts?
Yeah,
Probably a lot.
I feel like this can be a whole new genre of like gothic horror, right? The ghosts of colonialism, imperialism, and war in like war-torn countries where the West came and kind of just took everything, right?
Wasn't there, I don't know if it was a Netflix show. It probably wasn't because I haven't seen it, but there was like, it was like a ghost story about Japanese internment.
But that was more of like a vengeful ghost story.
I am all down for like a Vietnamese American version of Crimson Peak because that's what it sounds like right now.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
All right. Next deal, Cartwheel acquired in a 3-book deal, World Rights to Not an Egg, Not a Pumpkin, and Not a Heart by Susie Lee Jin. Novelty books about shapes that are not what they seem. Publication is scheduled to begin in spring 2023.
So novelty books, I imagine these are like gimmicky type books? Like,
yeah, like some of them are like pop-up books with features that kids can like touch to like help with sensory. I'm not sure like what the age demographic is for this book, but that's usually what novelty books are.
Interesting. All right. Next up, Penguin Paulson bought World Rights in a preempt to We Shall Be Monsters, a YA fantasy duology by Tara Sim. It's pitched as Mary Shelley meets Indian mythology, in which a young woman desperate to resurrect her sister escapes accusations of witchcraft by joining a group of rebels on the condition that she raises their rightful prince from the dead. Publication is tentatively planned for spring 2023.
We have some spooky books that are coming out in 2023. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I didn't see the genre in here, but it seems kind of like a fantasy.
Yeah, it's like this YA fantasy horror duology.
Right. Yeah. I remember.
God, Marvin, like process what you read. Yeah, like I'm all down for more spooky books. There's a bit of necromancy in here, witchcraft, all for it.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Tara again. All right. Clarion Books bought World Rights to Middle Grade Debut Extracurricular by Diana Ma. The novel is about 12-year-old Lily Hong, who enters a talent show with her friends in a desperate bid to save the struggling community center that houses her family's Chinese school. Publication is planned for fall 2023. Diana Ma, we had her on the show. We talked about her book, Heiress Apparently, where a Chinese-American girl finds out that she is royalty or descended from royalty.
I love this this story because it's like it's basically like every other Saturday morning like after school special, like afternoon special.
That's true.
But like Asian, which always makes it better, right, Rira?
I mean, like family's Chinese school. So I wonder if the family's income comes from Chinese school. I don't know. As a kid, I really hated like Saturday school. I hated going to Korean school. So like the idea of saving like your after school community, like no. Personally, no. But this sounds very heartwarming. And you know, what is the talent show? Like what is the talent she's going to showcase at the talent show? I'm very curious.
Yeah, congrats to Diana on her book deal. All right, next up, Orchard Books acquired world rights to The Wave Riders, a picture book biography of Chinese artist Ai Weiwei and his work surrounding the refugee crisis by author Joanna Ho, the author of Eyes That Kiss in the Corners, and illustrated by Katia Chen, winner of the 2020 gold medal from the Society of Illustrators for her work on The Bear and the Moon. Publication is planned for fall 2023. Joanna Ho also has another deal with HarperCollins, who acquired an exclusive submission, Say My Name, a picture book written by Joanna and illustrated by Kua Lei. Say My Name is about the beauty, meaning, and history behind the names of six different characters and the importance of saying names correctly. Publication is scheduled for fall 2023.
Congratulations to Joanna having two deals. That is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Especially with, I'm interested in The Wave Riders. I'm all down for more picture book biographies, like kid biographies on Asian and Asian American figures. And funny enough, the Say My Name picture book, we actually talked about names and the importance of pronouncing them correctly with Andrea Wang in our previous episode, because that was a big theme. So Marvin and I have a lot of thoughts on name pronunciations.
Yeah, congrats to Joanna on continuing her career of writing amazing and much needed children's books.
All right, next up, Little Brown acquired in a preempt, Kokoro by Christine Mari, a YA graphic memoir of growing up and negotiating her place in two worlds, America and Japan, while navigating the mental and emotional legacy of being a hafu, half Japanese, half American. Publication is scheduled for fall 2024.
Graphic memoir. Also a great way to tell a story, because then you can have visual representation of Asian faces and voices, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah, I also like the fact that this is a memoir about being mixed race, because I feel like when we say Asian representation in literature, a lot of people have like a set picture, a mindset. Like usually they think like East Asian when they think about Asian American, Asian representation, but there are many different branches in terms of what is defined as Asian.
Yeah, congratulations to Christine. Next up, Scholastic has acquired in a preempt debut middle grade fantasy, The Scroll of Chaos by Elsie Chapman, following a girl who travels to the realm of ancient Chinese deities to save the planet from a world-ending flood, only to discover the people she loves most may be beyond saving, unless she can steal the realm's immortal magic. Publication is tentatively planned for spring 2023.
So is there like an actual scroll in like Chinese mythology in terms of like immortal magic? I'm asking because this seems to be based on something.
I don't know. So maybe, probably.
Maybe.
I mean, it's obviously Chinese inspired, but I don't know if it's like it maps to any existing Chinese mythology.
I was just curious. All right. Next up, Quilltree bought Why We Went Extinct, an illustrated encyclopedia of the species that just didn't make it, by Tokyo Zoo science communicator Tadaki Imaizumi and zoology writer Takashi Maruyama. Originally a bestseller in Japan, this dark yet whimsical full-color middle-grade nonfiction collection is composed of monologues from the animals that have gone extinct through the ages. Publication is set for 2023. I actually don't know that many species that have gone extinct, other than like dinosaurs.
The dodo is all I can think of.
Oh, I guess the dodos too, yeah.
Yeah, it seems interesting and also a little depressing. Here. Have a book of animals we've never seen in real life.
But it's important. It's, you know, it's about like protecting our environment. And, you know, poaching is bad.
All right. Next up, Little Brown has acquired YA debut novel, The Next New Syrian Girl by Reem Shukairi. Pitched as Furia meets I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter. The book is about the unlikely friendship between a Syrian-American boxer and Syrian refugee. The pressures and expectations of being the perfect Syrian daughter, and the repercussions of the Syrian revolution, both at home and abroad. Publication is set for winter 2023.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we've read a couple books that have revolved around the Syrian revolution and the refugee crisis that resulted from it. And it seems like a very, especially in like today's world, especially like what's been happening the last, like literally the last few days, I think it's good to have literature that puts you in the perspective of, you know, refugees and the people who are affected by events that happen abroad, right?
Yeah, definitely. But congratulations again to Reem. All right. Next up, Holiday House Neil Porter Books acquired world rights to picture book Nine Eyes Mountain, written by Livia Blackburn and illustrated by Joey Cho. A girl visiting Taiwan has the chance to experience her grandmother's former home through her eyes, and in the process gains a deeper understanding of their shared heritage and connection. Publication is set for spring 2024.
Yeah.
I think at least on my dad's side, we still have the house that that they grew up in for like 2-3 generations. It's very rare because like it was the legit countryside. And then over the past decade, like when I visited, it was just a bunch of apartment buildings everywhere. And it became kind of like a transportation hub. So it's just like, oh, we still have this farmland, but like everything around us is like super modern.
Yeah. My dad's first house, my grandmother's first house with my grandfather doesn't exist anymore. It's it got paved over to build condos back in like, I think the 70s. And I think my maternal grandparents' house, they were also knocked down to make a giant park in Taiwan. So both their houses don't exist anymore.
Well, that's the story of industrialization, I guess. All right, next up, Clarion Books bought world rights to Rani, a picture book written by Sadia Faruqi and illustrated by Anusha Saeed, about a modern South Asian princess living in a bustling castle by the sea who goes out seeking an adventure and finds a friend instead. Publication is planned for spring 2023.
Yeah.
Awesome. More Asian princesses, because we definitely need more of them.
Yeah. Give us all the princesses. Our next book deal, Peachtree has bought world rights to Hooked on Books by Margaret Chu Granias and illustrated by Christina Litton. The picture book follows a grumpy anglerfish who wants to read in peace, but she keeps getting interrupted by noisy neighbors, so she swims deeper in search of the perfect quiet spot. Publication is scheduled for summer 2023.
This character sounds very much like myself.
Do you relate to the grumpy anglerfish?
Yes, because a lot of the time, actually my neighbors moved out, but they they were very loud and I would be reading and I'm like, please shut up. I just want to read my book for this podcast in peace. So I totally relate. Okay. Quilltree acquired Cafe Con Lychee by Meet Cute Diary author Emery Lee. It is a dual POV enemies to lovers contemporary rom-com following rival sons of competing family businesses, a Puerto Rican bakery, and an Asian American cafe. And they form an unlikely alliance running an underground coffee and boba shop at school after a new fusion cafe threatens their parents' stores. Publication is slated for 2022.
Man, I love this setup.
I love it when it's like the enemies or like, I guess like rivals are from competing businesses. Yeah. I don't know. It just like adds a little bit more drama to it when like financial safety is put on the line.
And I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but when they say new fusion cafe, I'm thinking like, cultural appropriators coming in and like taking the business, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I'm trying to think, like a couple years back there was like a fusion restaurant that tried to fuse sushi and pizza together. They're like, oh yeah, this is sushi pizza and you eat it with your hands, and I'm like, you know, people just eat. Like, that's just sushi spread out, and it just makes it very messy to eat. I don't think it did very well, but
yeah,
we know how it goes.
Sushi pizza, maybe not the big brain move. Sushi burrito, though, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty legit. Pretty good. it's just a bigger sushi. All right. Next up, Pay Street has bought Direwood, a debut YA gothic horror novel by Catherine Yu. In Direwood, 16-year-old Aja, whose sister Fiona disappears when a strange weather event isolates their town, must put her trust in a vicious but alluring vampire if she wants to see her sister again. Publication is scheduled for fall 2022.
Yo, we were just talking about gothic novels. Like,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Are vampires coming back? I
was just about to say that. Are vampires coming back?
I thought we got rid of them a decade ago.
I'm all for more vampire stories. I just want it to be different kinds of vampires, you know? I feel like we've just kind of seen the same type over and over again. Asian vampires are pretty awesome. There was this K-drama a couple of years ago, and it was set during the Joseon Dynasty period, or I guess like right before, around that time when like Silence of Bones is set, and the main character was like a vampire, and it was just like super cool because you don't see vampires in that time setting. So, but this sounds like a modern story, but I'm still down for more vampires.
Yeah.
All right. Candlewick bought world rights to picture book At the Window, written by Hope Lim and illustrated by Chin Lang. A special connection forged between a girl and her neighbor shifts the child's perspective, allowing her to see things she had not previously discovered. Publication is set for spring 2025.
Yeah, sounds... Do you like, maybe it's just me living in LA because people in LA don't talk to their neighbors, but I feel like the concept of forming a relationship with neighbors is still so unfamiliar to me.
I don't know if it's just an LA thing. Yeah, like ever since like stranger danger became a thing in American households, yeah, like knowing your neighbors is not the norm.
Yeah, but I have no problem making friends on the internet. So, you know, who am I to judge? but yeah, this sounds cool. This sounds like a good, a nice picture book to teach kids about friendship and accepting differences. All right, our last book deal. Little Brown has bought world rights to two picture books by Rocky Mershandani. The first, My Diwali Light, follows one girl's family tradition as they celebrate Diwali, to be illustrated by Supriya Kelkar. Publication is set for fall 2022. The second book, Mama's Roti, focuses on the life-giving force of roti, where it comes from, the farmers who make it happen, and what it symbolizes to a family in America and India, to be illustrated by Shreya Gupta. Publication is planned for winter 2023. Hey, that's cool. Yeah. Supriya Kelkar is an illustrator on this.
Yeah. We had Supriya on our show before. She came on to talk about her book, American as Paneer Pie. Yes, I am really like more Diwali books, please, because we need more picture books that explain our holidays to Asian Americans, because not a lot of us know about our own origins in terms of holidays, where they come from.
Yeah.
And
like, more books about our cultural foods, you know?
Yeah. And like knowing where it comes from, because I feel like overall, we don't know where our food comes from.
Yeah, congratulations to Rocky on their book deals. And with that, that'll do it for our review of the latest Asian and Asian American book deals for August 2021. Let's move on to book news. Our first story is Time Magazine released their 100 best YA books of all time, and it featured quite a bit of Asian and Asian American authors, which is pretty cool. The list includes Step from Heaven by An Nu, Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi, American Born Chinese by Jean Luan Yang, Legend by Marie Lu, If You Can Be Mine by Sarah Farazan, To All the Boys I've Loved Before by Jenny Han, Ember in the Ashes by Saba Tahir, When Dimple Met Rishi by Sanya Menon, A Very Large Expanse of Sea by Tahereh Mafi, Darius the Great Is Not Okay by Adib Koran, The Astonishing Color of After by Emily XR Pan, Frankly in Love by David Yoon, Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up with Me by Mariko Tamaki, The Henna Wars by Adiba Jagadar, and We Are Not Free by Tracy Chi.
lots of familiar names on this list.
Books and Boba book club picks too.
Yeah. Some of them were book club picks. Some of them we've had on our show. I'm trying to think, like, who is our most recent? I think David Yoon was our most recent interviewee that's on this list.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you see so many different genres here. You see fantasy, you see rom-com contemporary, you see graphic novels. And it's also really nice that these books aren't from like the early 2000s and like the late 90s. They're actually like current books that came out within this decade.
Yeah. I mean, as always, these lists are all super subjective. But the fact that 15 books are by authors of Asian descent, I mean, it's not nearly high enough. We should be at least double that, right? But I like that these lists are now, you know, it's not uncommon to see authors of color on these lists.
Yeah, there were a lot of Black authors that was listed in this list as well. So it is definitely a more diverse list than compared to like 5 years ago, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next story. Time Magazine published an article about Goodreads review bombing and scams. We've seen this trend happen with a lot of marginalized authors. A bunch of trolls would go on Goodreads and threaten them with one-star reviews saying, hey, if you don't give us money, then we're going to ruin your career pretty much. And then the other side to that is another aspect to that is marginalized authors who speak out against racism and ableism in books that are written by white authors, and fans of that white author coming at the marginalized authors who spoke out in the first place and having their books be review bombed. So one of the authors that was interviewed in this Time article was Rin Chupeco, the author of The Bone Witch. And we actually covered this story, I think, like a year ago. And she called out Mackenzie Lee for signing her name in her book and also like other authors of color's books and said, hey, you know, There is no consent to this. You are graffitiing over other authors' books, and I'm not sure like if that's right. I think it was a pretty tame and reasonable comment. But a lot of people who are fans of Mackenzie Lee went on Goodreads and they just like put 1-star reviews, and Rin Chupeco's rating went from like 4 stars to like 2.5 stars overnight. It was really, really bad. And I have a quote here by Rin Chupeco from the article. I've seen 1-star reviews just because an author, often Black authors, criticize something online that they found issue with that has nothing to do with their books. A lot of authors don't want to talk about it publicly because that only increases their harassment.
Yeah.
Goodreads, they really need to fix this problem, because I feel like so many people are just creating fake accounts just to do review bombing.
Yeah. Is there any comment from Goodreads on that article?
There's a couple. They've said like, okay, we're going to delete troll comments, but they haven't come up with like a preventative measure to prevent this from happening.
I mean, I feel like this is like the dark side of the internet, right? It's just we've literally read books about online harassment because it's such a thing, and because it can be anonymous, because it's so easy to access, right? And the sucky part is like, I'm not sure how important Goodreads ratings are to the industry.
Oh, it is very, very important. A lot of publishing professionals have said like, have called Goodreads a necessary evil. I like publishers, authors, and like book bloggers, we're like, none of us are happy with Goodreads, but it's how the general public discover books. And there is like a, like, I guess like when a book goes on a good, nah, when a book makes it to a Goodreads list, like the best books of 2020, because they do like an annual roundup, their sales go up. These Goodreads reviews that are written by prolific book bloggers, they're also a really good way to promote books. And it's, you know, there, but there is like no safety in regards to the authors. And
yeah, when I'm looking at Goodreads for reviews, I mean, it just takes a cursory look at what the person wrote to know if it's substantive or not. But I know most people are probably just taking a glance at the overall star score and making the decisions that way, right?
Yeah, and I have issues with the star score in the first place because a lot of, before I started this podcast, like my overall rating for books was probably 3 stars because 3 stars for me is like, oh, like it was a good book, but it's not for me. And four stars in my rating system was like, oh, I really like this book, but, you know, I didn't like love it. And then 5 stars, like, I really love this book. I'll recommend this to every single person that I know. So rarely, very rarely did I give books 5 stars. Ever since I started this podcast and realized how 3-star Goodreads ratings is, it's not helpful. It's actually pretty harmful for authors. I've taken down most of them unless they're books by really, really big authors where it doesn't matter anyway. But I feel like there should be a better way to rate books. And one of my greatest pet peeves about Goodreads is that there are a lot of reviews where the reviewer says, oh, I didn't finish this book 1 star. Yeah. And it's like, dude, you did not finish this book. You do not
You're
get to say if it's good or not.
In like, reviewing. Yeah.
You don't even go here.
I mean, unless it's like, I did not finish because of X or Y or whatever. You know, like the writing was too bad.
I mean, even then I say like, you have no right to judge until you finish reading the book. I like the only part where I would allow it is if it was super racist, super ableist. Like there is like an actual reason where you did not finish the book and it's because it was harmful. There just has to be a better way. I have no solutions. I am not a coder. I'm not a publishing professional. I'm just saying, Goodreads, get your shit together and figure this out because it's been a problem for too many years.
Yeah. Well, with that, that'll do it for our book news. And also for this episode of Books and Boba, Reba, thank you once again for compiling all the book deals and news for this month. Can you remind our listeners what we're reading for the month of August?
We are reading Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Rebay. And we'll be talking about it in the next 2 weeks. But in the meantime, we have some author interviews.
Yeah, we have a ton of author interviews coming up. I feel like we've read so many books because we've talked to so many authors. This is like the most productive summer I've ever had in terms of reading.
I didn't include it in the news, but there was a survey by Publishers Weekly about the uptick in reading among people in the second half of 2020. So more people have been reading during the pandemic, yeah. Which is very interesting.
Awesome. Always great to see. But on that note, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Books and Boba, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Books and Boba. This podcast was hosted by Marvin Yue and Reeva Yu and edited and produced by Marvin Yue. Follow the book club on Twitter and Instagram by going to @booksandboba and engage with us on Goodreads on our Goodreads group. You can also check out past episodes of the podcast by going to booksandboba.com and by subscribing to us on your favorite podcast app. Don't forget, you can support Books and Boba and Asian American authors by purchasing books at our bookshop.org account. Check out the link in our show notes and also at booksandboba.com. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian diaspora. Learn more about the collective and check out our fellow Potluck shows by visiting the website podcastpotluck.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey, bro. Brian. Did you go to Saturday school as a kid?
I sure did. Did you?
Totally.
Well, at our podcast, Saturday School, we don't teach a language, but we pass along the culture that we do know.
And that's Asian American pop culture.
Ada's a journalist, and I'm a professor and film festival programmer.
We've watched a lot of great Asian American movies, and we want you to watch them too. Come listen to us as we look back at the pioneering films that have led us to today.